This is Radio Boston. I'm Callum Borchers. The Mueller report has Democrats trying to figure out their next move. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren became the first 2020 presidential candidate to advocate for impeaching President Trump, tweeting Friday that she believes impeachment proceedings should begin immediately. Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton officially joined the 2020 field this morning and offered a more subdued approach. Here he is speaking with WBUR's Morning Edition.
I don't think the time is right to vote on impeachment because we don't have all the facts. But a year ago, I said there's enough going on here that we ought to at least have this debate. We shouldn't be afraid to have this debate.
With us now on the line is Massachusetts Congresswoman Lori Trahan. She represents the 3rd District, which includes Lowell, Westford, and Fitchburg. Congresswoman, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hi, Callum. How are you?
I'm well. Could you play correspondent for us for a moment? We know that House Democrats were planning to hold a conference call today to discuss the Mueller report and how the party should proceed. Can you fill us in? Has that call happened, and how are House Democrats planning to move forward?
You know, it hasn't happened yet. It's going to be before the end of the day today. And look, I think that there are a range of views right now proceeding on how to proceed with the findings of the Mueller report. You know, I think there are some folks who want to proceed directly to impeachment, but then others want, you know, to continue investigating some of the many questions that have been posed as a result of the issuing of the report. But I'll tell you, one thing we all firmly agree on is that we should proceed with finding the truth, and that is the role of Congress. It's our constitutional duty to act as a separate and co-equal branch of government, and that's what we'll intend to do. You know, there's a subpoena right now for the full report and the underlying evidence. There's a request for Mueller himself to testify before the Senate and the House, and at a minimum, we need to see an unredacted full report so that we can proceed.
So have you formed an opinion of whether impeachment proceedings should begin based on what you already know, Congresswoman, or are you waiting to see the full unredacted report or to get Mueller before a hearing?
You know, at a minimum, I need to see the full report. I mean, it is, you know, there's obviously a lot of questions when you redact 30% of a report. I think you already have this feeling that the president has not been exonerated, that the attorney general distorted significant portions of the report. There was a pattern of unacceptable conduct in terms of obstructing the special counsel's investigation. And so for me, I'm not interested really in setting markers. This is about getting to the truth. We're not there yet. And with the president's actions, while deeply disturbing, Congress, we haven't been given, you know, the full information. And I think a full unredacted report will be a first step toward, you know, making a decision on how to proceed.
But you heard that a little bit of Congressman Moulton that we played at the top of the show. And I just wonder if you think he has a point, you know, that maybe Democrats sort of missed the window, that if they were going to move toward impeachment, that they should have started the ball rolling a while ago.
No, I lived through the impeachment trial with a staff person during the impeachment trial of President Clinton. And, you know, that you never want to have a partisan impeachment proceeding. You know, you really want these things to be self-evident. And I think we have to look at the body of evidence. We have to, you know, proceed free from passion or prejudice and you know, on the presentation of facts. And so I think the more that we can show that this is evidence-based and fact-based to the American people, the better off we will be.
I want to ask you about one news development today, which is that President Trump and the Trump Organization are suing Representative Elijah Cummings, who chairs the House Committee on Oversight and Reform. That suit is a response to a subpoena for all of Trump's financial records after the president's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, testified that the organization has falsified financial documents in the past. And Trump argues that there is no legislative goal to the investigation and it should actually be under the jurisdiction of the Justice Department. So, Congresswoman Trahan, what do you make of today's developments?
You know, this isn't the first time that the president has you know, it tried to hide behind the Department of Justice, hide behind his own appointment of Attorney General Barr. The founding fathers set up our government this way for a reason, right? So because no one is above the law. This president hasn't complied with basic transparency, whether it's his tax returns or financial records. I mean, under Article 1 of the Constitution, this is an oversight role of the Congress. And I think he does more harm to the office of the president when he refuses to comply or skirts around these issues that, you know, no other president has. So I would hope that, the Congress continues, specifically Chairman Cummings, Chairman Nail, continue their oversight role.
We're talking about the Mueller report and more with Congresswoman Lori Trahan. And Congresswoman, I do want to ask you on Earth Day about the Green New Deal, which you've co-sponsored in the House. I'm mindful that climate change wasn't really a top motivating issues for Democratic voters or voters across the board in the past. So I'm wondering if you think it will be just that in 2020.
I absolutely think it is. In 2018, depending on the demographic that you were speaking with, whether it was young voters or, moms, the environment came up a lot, and it was because we're on the wrong path. It was because we've left the Paris Climate Accord. It's because we've walked away from protecting our environment and the bold goals that we had under the last administration. So, the reason why I'm a co-sponsor of the Green New Deal is because we are finally starting to talk about the environment again, which is so important. I mean, for 2 years, we've shirked our responsibilities. And, I think right when we get back to Washington next week, we're going to move forward with our For the People agenda. And that's going to continue with the Climate Action Now Act, which is H.R. 9. And that will be, Congress putting a stake in the ground, upholding the Paris Climate Accord, and laying the foundation for more bold action on the environment. So, I think it is an important issue now more than ever because we've only lost time in these last 2 years.
It is ambitious, though, right? I mean, and we've heard even leaders within your own party question some of the lofty goals. I think that Speaker Nancy Pelosi called it the Green Dream or something like that. And I just wonder if you think it was wise to include such lofty ambitions like guaranteeing a livable wage and health care for every American, sort of bundling all those things together. Should perhaps you have stripped it down a little bit more to be, a little bit more incremental in your progress?
No, that's a fair question, and it's one I hear a bunch. But look, you have to be bold to land at the right outcome, right? I mean, if you start with the pragmatic goal, that's where you're going to land, or worse, short of that. I think it's great that we're talking about bold environmental goals. And are we going to get everything in the Green New Deal? No, but it's a resolution. I think the details are yet to be worked out, and having a bold vision of what we can accomplish and what those goals should be is an important starting point so that we land in the right place.
Let me ask you, too, Congresswoman, about the campaign finance complaint that has been brought by the Campaign Legal Center. It's a watchdog group that wants the FEC to look at your campaign's financial filings, specifically dealing with $371,000 that you donated to your own campaign in the final month of the race. The complaint alleges that the personal donations that you made appear to have exceeded at least what you had disclosed as your total assets on prior campaign finance disclosures. How do you respond to their complaint?
Yeah, so the complaint was based on a five-month view of my finances back in 2018. So it was just a partial view. Personally, I had ample resources to make the loan that I did to my campaign. I was fortunate that I was able to make it. I mean, look, I grew up in Lowell in a working-class family, but, I started my own business. I grew that business into a successful enterprise. And that's the story that I want every young girl sitting in a public school, whether it's in Lawrence or Lowell or Haverhill or Fitchburg, to know. I want them to know what's possible. So, You know, I think it'll all be cleared up when I have my next filing, which will give a full picture of 2018. That happens next month. And I look forward to the complaint being dismissed.
So was it just a matter of additional income coming in later in the year for you after that campaign finance report as a snapshot, as you put it, or was there an oversight? Were there assets that you should have disclosed earlier that you forgot to somehow?
No, you know, in the report that you file on May 15th of each year, it's a snapshot. It's a snapshot in time. It's, you know, the balance that you have on that day in your joint account. It's the balance of the income earned up to that day. And so when you see the fuller picture of what I earned in 2018 you know, the range of the balances in our joint checking account in conjunction with the home equity loan that I took out on my house, I think it gives the clear picture and the full story.
Last thing, we did mention that Congressman Seth Moulton has entered the race today, and the field's getting awfully crowded, Congresswoman Trahan. And in fact, we've got three candidates vying for the presidency from Massachusetts. I presume you won't be voting for the Republican, Bill Weld, but you do have a couple within your own party, and I just wonder if you've decided to endorse either Elizabeth Warren or Seth Moulton or perhaps someone else.
You know, so back in January, I was proud to endorse Senator Warren. I got to know the senator. Well, not only did I get to watch her campaign and her tenure in Washington, but I also got to campaign with her during the 2018 election cycle. And look, there's no one who wakes up every day thinking about how to close that income inequality gap more than her. And as you know, as a working class kid from Lowell, I very much appreciate, you know, the bold programs that, you know, she's advocating for in terms of, you know, closing that gap and giving more working and middle class families the tools they need to realize economic opportunity. So and frankly, look, I came out of a primary campaign that was chock full of talented candidates. There were five women, five men in that race. You know, I think that in those instances, competition makes us stronger. And so it'll be an exciting presidential campaign for sure.
Those are very nice words about Elizabeth Warren, Congresswoman. Are you sure you don't want to just go ahead and make the endorsement official right here on Radio Boston?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I wasn't clear. I endorsed Elizabeth when she announced her presidency in Lawrence in my district in January. I was proud to stand with Senator Markey and Congressman Kennedy. And yes, when she officially announced, she did so right at the site of the Bread and Roses labor movement in Lawrence at the Everett Mills. And I was proud to be a part of that. So I've already endorsed my presidential candidate, and I look forward to you know, watching this race. It'll be great. It's great for the country. It's great for women.
That's Congresswoman Lori Trahan, who represents Massachusetts' 3rd Congressional District. Congresswoman, thanks a lot for your time today.
Thank you.